Parshas Lech Lecha is a real turning point in learning Chumash. It's a real turning point in terms of Eretz Yisrael, and that's reflective of a real turning point in terms of who the focus is on. In terms of Eretz Yisrael, I think they say, they once asked Rav Kook, how come he was so focused on Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is important. It seems like such disproportionate focus. I believe the line that with which he responded was, well, if you look in Chumash, in Parshas Lech Lecha and on, there's almost not a single sedra that doesn't mention Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems very disproportionately focused on Eretz Yisrael, so am I. And that begins with Parshas Lech Lecha, or maybe the end of Parshas Noach. And that's, of course, reflective of the fact that we're, as we began to talk about last Thursday night, Parshas Lech Lecha is a shift from the universal focus, the story of all of humanity that's in Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach, shifting towards the story specifically of the Amah Nivchar. That shift is from the outset. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Arvinu, now you're going to cut away from Arzachem Latra Beis Avicha, go to Eretz Canaan. In Eretz Canaan, he has the Bris Min Absarim, and the story begins of the development of the unique Amah Nivchar. There's so much going on. The Ramban and Parshas Lech Lecha. Oh, wow. It's a lot going on. Let's try to take the minutes that we have now to see at least a little bit of the richness. Maybe we'll start with a pasuk that doesn't catch our eye. If you just learn Chumash, it's one of those phrases that you just sort of, one might, none of us would do that. Maybe we know someone who has a friend who knows a guy who would just sort of learn this pasuk and not really pay a lot of attention to the phrase, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. Lech lecha mi'artzecha. I pasuk vav, he is in Eretz Yisrael, he comes to Shechem, he begins to work his way southward. Pasuk vav is a very significant Ramban. I had a chance to share with some of you earlier this week. The next one, Pasuk Ches, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Ches, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells in the Torah that Avraham Avinu was being korei b'shem Hashem. He's working his way southward. He comes in at Shechem, and then in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, begins to work his way southward, and he's being korei b'shem Hashem. We've all seen that phrase before, and it's not the only time it comes up in Chumash Bereishis. What does it mean? He called the name of God. What does that mean? He was just standing there yelling Hashem's name? What does it mean? What does it mean to be Kari B'Shem Hashem? Have you ever been Kari B'Shem Hashem? Well, how would I know? I don't know what it means. What does it mean to be Kari B'Shem Hashem? Take a look at the Ramban. Take a look at the Ramban here, and then we'll take a peek at a parallel Ramban in Parshas Vayera as well. Perik is based pasukas. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Pirish Unklis shehis palel shem. Unklis says that he davened.
Footnote 45 on the bottom. Chevelle gives you the language. Utsili b'shma d'Hashem. Sagi lamed yud.
Sagi lamed aleph is a shor shem means to daven. If you've learned Maseches Brachos, you've no doubt come across it. So he davened. He was davened at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo. Karasi Shimcha Hashem Mibar Tachdios. The Ramban, this is not Unklos, Unklos just translates. This is Ramban speaking. Ramban says, I have a source for Unklos. Let's look throughout Tanakh. We're just going to look at this one pasuk. We have to broaden our scope to see evidence. He says, I found evidence. Here's an example. Karasi Shimcha Hashem Mibar Tachdios for the composers in the room. It could be a beautiful pasuk to set to music. It's a pasuk in Eicha, indeed. I called your name from the deepest pits. Even when I was down in the depths, I was calling your name. I was davening. Now, the Ramban immediately says, but the correct pshat seems to be something else. He doesn't explain why he's rejecting Unklus. He's not explaining why he's rejecting Unklus at this point. We're going to see soon he's going to develop a different idea and develop a basis for that. But one of the things that might catch you right away is if he's davening, what's he davening about? The Pesukim say, he comes to different towns, he builds a Mizbeach, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. He was davening for what? He was davening about what? If he's davening, something's missing. Plus, if you compare our Pasuk, just that first line of the Ramban, our Pasuk versus that Pasuk that he quoted from Eicha.
Because it's one letter of difference, it's pretty important. One letter difference. Like, Krah B'Shem Hashem, here in Lafleha, versus Karasi Shimcha Hashem. The one letter difference. Or the Chaf is because he's talking to Akash Baruch Hu, to you as well as to the Beis. Over there it's L'Kro Shem Hashem. Karasi, I called your name. But here it's to be Korei B'Shem Hashem. What do you mean to be called in the name of Hashem? Ah, so what does that mean to call in the name of Hashem at the Mizbeach? So it could be that means that he was davening, but then why didn't it say, Vayikra es Shem Hashem, Vayikra Shem Hashem? It's not exactly the same as Eicha. So the Ramban says, the Hanachon, you know what I think it means? Shahayakore b'kol gadol sham lefne Mizbeach es Shem Hashem. He's standing there before the Mizbeach, near the Mizbeach, call the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, Modia osove elukuso, modia. What does modia mean? To make known, right? Yodea is to know, to be modia is to make known, to share the information with others. He was modia osove elukuso livnei adam. He was sharing, he was teaching about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other people. That's what it means, says Ramban, to be Kari B'Shem Hashem. Not to daven, but he was spreading monotheism. He was teaching about Hashem Echad. Ki bu'ur kastim hayam alam adam v'lavu shemala. He started his teaching career, Avraham Avinu, his Kiruv career, he began in Orkastim, in Mesopotamia, where he grew up. They were not particularly interested in his message. His message fell on deaf ears. His message about there's one God who created the entire universe. They weren't interested. But now Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, I need you to go to Eretz Yisrael. And now he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael, Shehuv Tach Bavah Varachom Mevarachechem. And he had been promised, Kadosh Baruch Hu had promised him that he would make an impact, a positive impact. So now, he says, let me try again. He was in this groove of teaching, of spreading the message about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was in this groove of teaching, of spreading the message. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises him, don't worry, you're going to Eretz Plishtim, I'll be with you, I have your back. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzhak. Again, Vayibana Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He builds Mizbeach, and he's once again the same language, Korei B'Shem Hashem. What does that mean? He was davening? Maybe. The Rabban says, isn't that interesting? He comes to somewhere new. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him, I have your back. I have your back. You're in a good spot. He comes to somewhere new and immediately builds Mizbech Kor B'Shem Hashem. Rabban says, yeah, L'shitasi, L'fi Peirushi, we understand well. Baba Malkam Chadash, he just came to a new place. Now he's in an exposition. Mashar lo shamu is shamo. Lo'ru is kivodo. They hadn't heard about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They hadn't seen Kvod Hashem. V'higid kivodo b'agoy mehen. He says, when he came to a new place, he began to teach. To be Kor B'Shem Hashem means to start a new teaching. Start a new teaching enterprise. That's what it means. Not to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is to be Korei Shem Hashem, to call the name of Hashem. To Korei B'Shem Hashem means to call out about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to teach. To teach Elokos. And then the following question, then he expands it in two more ways. Already, what have we seen so far? Already, number one, Rabban took a phrase that we've seen so many times in Chumash. And let's be honest, we probably just sort of, we expect to see it there, and we never actually stop to think, what does it mean? So Rabban, number one, got us thinking, like, let's actually learn Chumash with open eyes. Let's notice all the words, let's notice what's there, and with analytic minds with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed us, let's try to figure out, what does that mean? That means something. It's in Chumash. And number two, okay, Ugla says, davening, and Rabban says, teaching. And then, even the subtleties, like noticing where this phrase pops up. The Rabban already showed us twice
both by Avram and by Yitzhak, by Yikra B'Shem Hashem, happens at a Mizbeach, and in what juncture? It's when he comes to a new place. He comes to a new place, and it's Kari B'Shem Hashem, it builds a Mizbeach, Kari B'Shem Hashem. Rabban says, notice that. It's not just random. It's specifically when it comes to a new place. Why? I understand well, says Rabban. It means he started yeshiva. He came to a new town, he founded a yeshiva. What was the yeshiva? He built a Mizbeach, to bring karbanos, presumably, but also to be literally a bama, a platform for his teaching. That was the Jewish center, the Torah center of Be'er Sheva, the Torah center of Beitel, the Torah center of Gerar. He came, he founded yeshiva, and they would call that, and that's what the language means. All of a sudden, we never even would have noticed, and now it strikes you. Oh, okay, so that's what it means. That's where it happens. There's a pattern to be sensitive to, and this is Mamish Ramban L'Shitaso. To look at a given pasuk in the context of more of a broader scope on Chumash. Then he says, let's expand it in two more ways. Once we're noticing it happens by Avram, it happens by Yitzhak, specifically it happens, this Kriya B'Shem Hashem happens when he arrives at a new place. What else would you expect to see? Kriya B'Shem Hashem. We never even thought about this before. When does Kriya B'Shem Hashem occur? But now that we're zoned in, we notice that Avram has it, Yitzhak has it, at a specific time, specific, come to a new place. What would be the next logical step? Where else would you see Kriya B'Shem Hashem? Yaakov Avinu. Right? Now that we're sensitized to it, now that we're not ignoring the phrase, so Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, right? The three of us. Rabban says, hey, that's interesting. You don't see it by Yaakov. You don't see it by Yaakov. Well, so Rabban says, "V'lo nemar b'Yaakov kein." You don't have it by Yaakov. Why? What do you mean he doesn't need it?
He has a lot of kids and
stuff. Exactly. Maybe we should call you Moshe. You mechaven to Rabban. Moshe Parisa. "V'lo nemar kein b'Yaakov kein." We never find this phrase by Yaakov. Why? Because shaholit banim rabim kulam ovdei Hashem. Because he had a family, a lot of children, all of whom were on board. All of whom were over the Hashem. The point that Rabban is making, and that he's sensitizing us to this phrase, where it appears and where it doesn't, is really, we'll continue Rabban in a moment, but it's worth noticing that Rabban is touching on an idea that was formulated several generations earlier by... From Yehuda Halevi, the Sefer HaKuzri. Yehuda Halevi is one of the great Talmidim of the Rif. Just to put things into context, the Rif was a contemporary of Rashi. Rashi lives in the 1000s, so to speak, in France and Germany. The Rif lives around the same time in Spain and Morocco, Northern Africa. And a lot to say about that, about how Rashi, the Rif, and the Aruch all live at the same time, and they're all building Svarim that will help make Gemara more usable. Different types of Svarim, each one. The Rif has a number of famous Talmidim. One was the Rebbe Migash, who becomes the Rebbe in turn of Rabbeinu Maimon, the father of the Rambam. Another Talmud of the Rif is Yehuda Halevi. Yehuda Halevi is famous for his philosophical writings, for his poetry and for his philosophical writings. He writes one of the great Sifrei Machshava of the Rishonim, written by Yehuda Halevi, written as a conversation, called the Sefer HaKuzari. And it's called Kuzari because there had been it's a historical fiction. It's a work of historical fiction about a tribe he's writing in around the year 1100 about events that, relating to events that occurred around 300-400 years earlier. There had been a tribe somewhere in the Caucasian Mountains called the Kuzrim or the Kozarim, who, the story had it that they had converted to Judaism. The whole tribe. Matter of fact, there was a fellow a couple of decades ago who did his PhD at Yale on the historical background of the actual Kuzrim. When Rabbi Daniel Karabkin of Pawtucket published his Sefer HaKuzri, so he included a long foreword, historical foreword from this doctoral student. So in any case, the Sefer HaKuzri is one of the great treasures of Machshava that we have from Rishonim. And Yehuda Halevi wrote it as a conversation between the king of the Kuzari tribe, who's spiritually He's spiritually inspired. As an open, safe, open, he's having his dreams. Kavanas Horatsuyim, Asachim Ritsuyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts your you want to be religious, and that's wonderful, but you're not doing it right, you're not expressing it properly. Masachim Ritsuyim. So he begins, he has his dream repeatedly, so he realizes he needs to figure out. It's not enough to feel religious, you got to practice religion the right way. So he begins to fan out and survey different religious options. So he brings in a Christian priest, he brings in a Muslim imam, he brings in a Neo-Aristotelian philosopher, and he's like, ah, should I bring a Jew? Yeah, Jews are so small, fine. He decides he'll bring a chaver, Jewish Talmud Chacham. And then the beginning of the Sefer, the beginning of the first Mamar, it's four Mamar altogether, the beginning of the first Mamar is his conversation with each of those representatives, and ups and downs and ups and downs. Ultimately, he decides he's only interested in continuing with the Chaver, and the rest of the Sefer is a conversation between the Melech HaKuzrim and the Chaver, the rabbi, about different topics in Judaism. And it's written as a conversation. It's all Q&A. So in the first Mamar, the Chavar, early on, he's having a conversation with the Chavar about Jewish history and about the history, how we got to Matan Torah. And the Chavar says something fascinating. The Chavar says many things are fascinating, but for our purposes right now, he says you have to understand that Yaakov Avinu was one of the pivotal figures in all of world spiritual history. He says up until the time of Yaakov Avinu, there was a segula elokis, a divine spark, an added degree of connectedness, of ease of access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we would call nowadays banim lamakom, that's a quality of all of Klal Yisrael. We've discussed that Mishnah many times. All of humanity are tzem elokim, and Klal Yisrael are banim lamakom. So that segula elokis, that divine spark, that Adam had it, he was Yitzir Kapash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it goes down from one to the next three generations. It never gets passed to all of your children. And then it goes ultimately makes its way down to Avram, and from Avram to Yitzchak, but not to Yishmael the Bnei Keturah, from Yitzchak to Yaakov, but not to Esav. And then Yaakov is the pivot point, because Yaakov, all of a sudden, passes it on to all of his children. And he's the first person to do that. And that, Kuzri points out, is incredibly significant. It's such an extraordinary pivot point, such an extraordinary inflection point, because the significance of that is that's a necessary prerequisite in order to have an Am Hashem, to have an entire nation focus on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You need to have that quality that if the parent has a school elokis, it's assumed that all the kids do as well. Kolzma is just one-to-one. Kolzma is being passed on maximum to one child. You're not going to build a nation that way. It's individuals. It's Yechidei Segula. Same word, Segula. But to be an Am Segula, as the Torah describes, Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, to have be an Am Segula, you have to have what the Gemara refers to, the Chazal refers to as Mitaso Shalema. Yaakov Avinu, his bed was complete, meaning that all of his children followed in his way, and all of his children had this Segula Kit. The Gemara Pesachim tells us, there was something that was very much on Yaakov Avinu's mind until the very end of his life, until his last day. Now you know that Gemara, and now in the context of the Kuzri, that Gemara takes on added significance. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu gathers all of his children, Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, he gathers them, tells them, let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of the days. And then the Gemara points out there's a sharp transition. There's a dramatic shift, because the very next pasuk he begins to give brachos. The question is, what happened to Achros Hayam? He's supposed to talk about when Mashiach is coming. So one could suggest that maybe the brachos encompass that. That's a reference to Birkas Yaakov. But the Gemara understands that he was going to tell them the Kates. He was going to tell them Bias Mashiach will be year X, or the latest by year X, and then it gets snatched away from him. He had that Ruach HaKodesh, he had that bit of Nevuah, he was going to share with his children, he gathered them all together, Nisalkim in Ruach HaKodesh, and then he loses that Nevuah. And he was going to say Achras Yamim, and then he didn't because he lost it. And the Gemara says terribly distraught. What happened? I had it, and as soon as all my children gathered, it was gone. So Yaakov Avinu's first interpretation of that data is that apparently someone here doesn't deserve to hear it. So it says, psul be'achas mikem. Maybe one of you doesn't believe, has a psul. What sort of psul? So the psul, what the psul he's worried about becomes clear because the Gemara says that he, as the Shach V'Tari continues. Because the Gemara says, they respond, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokei Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, Yisrael is Yaakov's name. We all believe in HaKadosh Baruch. We all believe in Hashem Echad. And then he's, Hanachazah says, okay, so I see my fears were not as I thought. I thought that one of you had a pagam, a psul, meaning that one of you had lost your amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, ein mitasi shleima, and therefore I can't share this with you. Says, no, okay, I see that you all deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to know. Okay, fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want, he wants me to know, but he doesn't want Klal Yisrael to know the kates. That's fine. I wish I could have shared it, he's still not sharing it. How's the answer the question? Why is he relieved now? He still can't share it, but his real concern wasn't, can he pass on the knowledge of Kates to the next generation? His real concern was, as the Gemara says, maybe enemy tasi shlema. To the very last day, he knew that he was supposed to be the last of the Avos. He's the one supposed to transition world spiritual history from Yechide Skula into building a Mishpacha that become an Am Skula. And that's why throughout Chumash, right, Yaakov Avinu always is concerned. His concern for his children is dual. It's the concern that any loving father would have for his children. And we hear plenty of that over the course of the latter half of Chumash Bereishis. But in addition to the concern that any parent would have for a child, here there was an additional national spiritual concern. My children are supposed to be the Am Hashem. We're supposed to transition into Am Skula. Is that going to happen? Is it not going to happen? That was on Yaakov's mind. Ad rega achem. That's what the Sefer HaKuzri writes. I'm expanding a little bit, but he makes that point. There was that Yaakov that all of a sudden, don't remember that he connects it to the Gemara Pesachim Mitasar Shlema and the Shema Yisrael, the Achaz Yamim, but he says the Yaakov was that inflection point where things pivoted out from being Yechidim to being a Mishpacha, which could ultimately be the building block for Am Hashem. So Ramban says here that transition, that cosmic transition in terms of how spirituality is being handed down is reflected very subtly in the disappearance of Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Avram is Kor B'Shem Hashem. Yitzchak is Kor B'Shem Hashem. Then it comes to Yaakov, he's not Kor B'Shem Hashem. What happened? He wasn't following Minhag HaAvos. So the answer is, now if it means, once again, if it means davening, as Unklus explained, Azrab, the Gemara tells us Yaakov did daven, right? Avram tikkun shachris, Yitzchak tikkun mincha, and Yaakov tikkun arvus. So how come, if it's davening, how come we don't hear about the Kriya B'Shem Hashem by Yaakov Avinu? Rabban says, L'shitasi, it makes good sense. L'shitasi, the Kriya B'Shem Hashem. Maybe Kriya B'Shem Hashem might mean to daven, but Kriya B'Shem Hashem means to teach, and to teach others, to spread monotheism to new communities specifically. As you come to a new town, and now I open yeshiva, he says, Yaakov wasn't doing that anymore. Because Yaakov had a family. And all of Yaakov's children were Ovdei Hashem. Holid banim rabim kulam Ovdei Hashem. He was zochet to be mitaso shlema. He was that inflection point where the school of kiss would be passed on to the entire family. Haisalo kihila gedola nikris hadas Yisrael. He's building a community called Adas Yisrael. By the way, in those three words, Ramban just raised a kasha and answered it. Kedarko Bakodesh. He implied a question and gave a Givalda Gateret. It's a question we never even thought of before. What's the question? What's the answer? Haislo Kila Gedola, Nikres Adas Yisrael. His community that he's building is called Adas Yisrael. Adas Israel. The question that Lachora he's raising and answering, as the Givaldic Echidish that the Ramban tucked in Beremez, is why Adas Yisrael as opposed to Adas Avram or Adas Yitzchak? Why B'nai Yisrael? Why Klal Yisrael? Why not Klal Avram or Klal Yitzchak? So it could be, you could say, just sort of Balbatish, well, you know, Kol Yisrael includes everyone descended from Yisrael, from Yaakov, but it doesn't include everyone descended from Yitzhak. It doesn't include everyone descended from Avram. Okay. Or maybe more than just a technical point, Rabbi is saying something deeper here. Yaakov was the one who started Kehila. He was the one who started Klal and Eidah, because up until Yaakov, it was all just going from individual to individual. Avram got to school of kids, he passed it, Yitzhak passed it to Yaakov. The whole notion of a Klal, of a Kehila, that begins with Yaakov. So it's not just it happens to be that we're, that Adas Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, you know, includes everyone descended from Yaakov and everyone descended from Yitzhak. Yaakov was the one who began this. That was his avoda, an avoda that Avram Yitzchak didn't have. Avram Yitzchak's avoda, Rabban is saying here, was kriya b'shem Hashem, spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu far and wide to many individuals. Yaakov's avoda was to turn inside and to focus on building his am. V'nisparsa emuna bahem. And m'meila, it's not that there was no interest in spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond their Dalai Lamas. But the methodology would be different. Whereas Avraham Yitzchak were going out straight and going out and teaching person by person to the Plishtim, to the Canaan, and so forth, Yaakov had a two-step process. He says, Yaakov is building his internal nation, Yaakov is building the family, Yaakov is building Adas Yisrael, Memeila Nisparasa Emuna Bahem V'Nodol Cholam. Through having a nation, not just one person, so that will convey, the nation will convey the idea of Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond. That's number one. This is number one. The reason why we don't hear about Yaakov being Kori B'Shem Hashem is because his efforts were different. Instead of his efforts being directly getting out to the people on the street, his efforts were building Am Hashem, which in Ramela, the presence of an Am would convey Emuna to Evru, to Umas Olam. And then Vagam, answer number two, Kimimei Avosav Nisparsim Achal Eretz Kanan. Not only, the first answer is he was still trying to teach Emuna to all the Kananim, but his efforts were focused on building his own family, which Ramela would spread outward. Answer number two is maybe there weren't so many people there to teach. They had already reached saturation point. Avraham Yitzchak had been working at this for a couple of centuries already. And Avram comes to Eretz Canaan when he's 75 years old. He dies 100 years later. Right? Avram lives in Eretz Canaan for 100 years. He dies at the age of 175. When Yaakov was only 15. And now, when Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael, so that's almost 200 years after Avram first came. So Avram and Yitzchak have been working, you know, they've been working this beat of teaching Emuna, spreading the word of Hashem Echad in the Eretz Canaan for almost 200 years. So Ramban says, number one, Yaakov was taking a different approach to spreading Emunah in Eretz Canaan. Number two, he says maybe he wasn't even trying to spread Emunah in Eretz Canaan. Everyone knew about it already. Either they accepted it, didn't accept it, but in terms of being mefarsim it, the word was out. So either way, both of those approaches to why you don't see it by Yaakov build off of, number one, this concept that the Kuzri already articulated several generations before the Ramban, that Yaakov is the inflection point when there's a shift from Yechidei Skula to an Am Skula, to Mishpach and Am Skula. And number two, it's built upon the Ramban's approach to Kriya B'Shem Hashem. That Kriya B'Shem Hashem, specifically in the context of the Avos, means teaching about Emunah, teaching about monotheism, teaching about Hashem Echad to new audiences, to new communities. And he says, and the truth is, not only did I show that it fits with all the data in the Psukim, it fits with where you see it happen, when you see it happen, it's often they come to a new place, it's Dafko Yavon Yitzchak, not by Yaakov, and I have a gracious Rabbah. On the one hand, I have Unklus against me. Unklus goes back to the days of the Tanaim, and perhaps even earlier. Unklus lived in the days of the Tanaim. The Gemara discusses, did he write his Perush, or was his Perush ultimately Halacha Moshe Sinai, or somehow rooted in Kabbalah Slam Moshe Sinai? The Ramban clearly does not assume the Unklus is Kol Kulo Halacha Moshe Mishinai, because then he would not be arguing ever on Unklus. Rashi also argues on Unklus. Rabban says, on the one hand, Unklus is against me. Unklus himself, the man Unklus, was, Gemara tells us, was from the day of the early Tanaim. By the other hand, I have another source in Tanoim that supports me. V'chein amru b'kach amru b'reishas rabba. The Medrash Rabbah on Bereshis tells the Bereshis Rabbah tells us Milamet shehikrash Moshe Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'fi kol bria. Aravinu saw to it that the name of Hashem would be on the lips of every person he met. That kriya b'shem Hashem, it's a similar to what the Ramban is saying, that it had to do with teaching about Hashem Echad. The Bereshis Rabbah, you should know, is a very, very ancient Medrash. Some Midrashim go back to the days of the Gaonim, but the early Midrashim go back to the days of the Tanam, the very early Amoraim. The early Midrashim include the Midrashei Halacha. There's Mechilta, there's more than one Medrash called Mechilta on Shemos. Mechilta is the name for a Medrash Halacha on Shemos. And Sifra or Torah's Konim are the two names for the Medrash Halacha on which Chumash? Vayikra. Sifra or Torah's Konim is Vayikra. Sifra is by Midbar and Devarim. So Shemos, Vayikra, by Midbar Devarim. The only one that doesn't have a Medrash Halacha is Bereshis. Why? Because there's not a lot of halacha in Bereshis. There's not a Medrash Halacha, but there is an ancient Medrash, which is largely Agada. We call that the Bereshis Rabbah. It's not the only one, but it's one of the ancient Midrashim on Bereshis is the Bereshis Rabbah. The other Midrashim in the collection that's printed as Medrash Rabbah are not as old as the Bereshis Rabbah. But the Bereshis Rabbah is a very, very ancient Medrash. It goes back to the open Bereshis Rabbah. Quoting Tanam, quoting Rabbi Yosef, quoting Rishon Gamliel. A lot of very fascinating machlokas from Rishonim. Machlokas HaTanam, that different issues of quasi halacha or hashkafah are to be found in the pages of the Bereshis Rabbah. Bereshis Rabbah has machlokas Yibyos Yibishim Gamliel about naming children do you name children for deceased relatives or for other reasons? The Chatchila, Bidyevet, you'll find that. It's machlokas HaTanam, Yibyos Yibishim Gamliel, in the pages of Bereshis Rabbah. So here, the Rabban says, I have a Bereshis Rabbah that backs up my approach. So it's really, it's not me versus Unklus, is it machlokas Tanam? It's machlokas Unklus in the Bereshis Rabbah. How do you understand Vayikra b'shem Hashem? And let's connect this. I told you the Ramban could take in two additional directions. So one additional direction was to look at Yaakov, to look at the Hashmata, a good word to know. Hey, shin, mem, tes, hey. Hashmata is when something's left out. So often when you're learning Rishonim, you'll say, you learn a Rambam, he left out the din. What's Pshat in the Rambam's Hashmata? How come he left? He never quotes this Gemara. Does he not paskin like it? Or does he understand it in a different way? So the Ramban was sensitive here to the Hashmata and the Chumash. How come you never see Vayikra b'shem Hashem in the context of Yaakov Inu? And as we saw, this opens up whole worlds of ideas. Once you're working with the Ramban's approach, which is ultimately the Bereshis Rabbah's approach, then this opens up a whole world of ideas. But let's take, we said, two directions. So one direction was the fact that the Hashmata by Yaakov, he never says Kriya B'Shem Hashem in the context of Yaakov Inum. And the other one, it turned to the last page of the packet that you have. This Machlokes recurs in next week's Sedra as well. The very, very, very end of Perek Chaf Aleph. This is the very end. We're going to leave the Pesukim next week, and we just laid them a number of weeks ago on Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, the first day laning is Bereshis Perek Chaf Aleph. The second day laning is Bereshis Perek Chaf Beis. The second day Perek Chaf Beis is Akedah. The first day is the parak that precedes the Akeda, Hashem Pakat Asara. It's mostly, though, not about Hashem Pakat Asara. It opens with that. And then most of it is about Avraham Avinu's negotiations with whom? With Avimelech. Right. Avimelech, Melech Plushim, and Pichol, the general. He has his diplomatic negotiations with the Plushim. And then, as Ben Sion Fier points out, you see him shift from the work of, perhaps it's because he came to Eretz Plishtim, because he just had, it's in the aftermath of the events in Sodom, he begins his chesed career, the Torah begins to focus on his chesed career. Yita Eshel. He plants a tree, as Chazal understand, the Eshel was not just a tree, but a center for hospitality, Achila Shtia and Levaya. Achila Shtia and Lina. He begins to focus even more on Chanos's Arachim. And it also says there, he's Korei Sham, here at the last Ramban of Perichaval, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. You got it? Yikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Avraham Avinu calls there in the name of Hashem, the God Kel Olam. Kel Olam. So once again, so the Ramban is focused on this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu is calling the Shem Hashem Kel Olam, the name of Hashem, the God of Olam. What does that mean? This pasuk, by the way, as a sidebar, this pasuk is the opening epigraph of the Ramban's Mishnah Torah, and I think several other works also. He opens the sefer with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's this whole sefer, as we say, I think that was the Rambam's equivalent of B'siyata Deshmaya. B'Shem in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel Olam, specifically the way it's found here. B'Shem Hashem, Kel Olam. So the question is, what does that mean? So again, until we learned the previous Ramban, we might have just said, okay, it's a nice word, you know, it sounds right, fits in. Now we say, well, what does that mean? Oh, so now we know Ramban taught us The Unkel says it means to daven. Rabban says it means to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the added phrase? Not just Vayikrasham B'Shem Hashem, Vayikrasham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. What does it mean? Kel Olam, the God of the world? What does Olam mean? Universe. Does that ever mean anything else? You look at the Rabban, he says, Pir Shakasov, Shekara B'Shem Hashem, Hamanhig, Bikocho Hazman. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu drives time. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes time flow. That's not just a given. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe, including its dimensions. The very dimensions that encompass the universe themselves, space and time, are themselves creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And time flows because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps it ticking. B'Shem Hashem, so that's very beautiful, but you might ask yourself, if you're thinking, how's the answer to the question? Well, that's a very nice idea. What does it have to do with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam? What does it have to do with Kel Olam? That Kadosh Baruch Hu creates time. Think. What does the word Olam mean?
Forever.
Ah, right. Li'olam means forever. So Olam could mean the entirety of space, the universe, or it can mean the entirety of time, forever. So he says, it could mean it's in a time sense. B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, he was teaching about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of time itself. Or, says Ramban, Sheyikru'u HaShamayim Ba'aretz Olam. Or maybe it means, Shamayim Ba'aretz, maybe it means the universe. Kaloshen Haba Tamen B'Divir Aboseinu. That's the way the word is used in the language of our Chachamim. Now the Ramban is making an interesting point. In Mishnaic Hebrew, B'Lashon HaMishnah, Ola means the universe. While in Tanakh, usually will mean forever. L'Hashem Ha'aretz Mlo. Olam. Olam Chesed Yibana. So Ramban is arguing that in Tanakh, usually Ola means forever. But in language of Chazal, often mean the universe. It says here it can mean one or the other. Either way, Hodiya Bazesh Shakara Avram. Avravina was calling out and teaching people. Hodiya Labrios. Sod Hanhogas Olam Bechlalo. Shu B'Shem Hashem Hechasin Bakoach. Sheishlo Elus Bikulam. That word sod was the code to tell us the next couple of words we might not be able to decipher fully without being initiated into Kabbalah, which we are not initiated into Kabbalah. So he says, but Avraham Avinu was teaching them some deeper idea about what? About the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a master of everything. In other words, that Hashem Echad means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the way the Greeks understood and the Zoroastrians and many before them, that you know there's a universe and then Kadosh Baruch Hu come a god or gods come onto the scene and do their things and modify. No. We believe, as the Chumash says, Hashem Echad, as Yeshayahu says, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yotzer Varechoshech, Hosh Hashem Varach, Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything. Harav Amar B'Mora Nevuchim. The Rabbi writes in Mor Nevuchim, Shehu Romez L'Kadmos HaKel. This means not only that Kadosh Baruch Hu created time, but that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Animama number 4, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was always here. In other words, before the universe. That's another way of saying that everything was a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that there was some basic universal stuff and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes on the scene and modifies it. Kadmus HaKel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came first before everything. Everything is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki hodiya heyoso kodem lezman. Going back to what he said before, that he was teaching people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came before time. Which itself is a metaphor because before is a time type of phrase. The Kadosh Baruch Hu exists independently of time. Time is a creature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then he wraps up by saying, "Avol Unklus Amar Vivayikra Shu Tfila." But Unklus said that it means davening. So once again, that's Lashitasan. It's the same Achlokas that he talks about in this week's parasha in Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. He's going to talk about next week's parasha in Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And Unklus thinks it means davening, in which case, by Krush. Hashem b'shem Hashem kelo means he was davening to Hakadosh Baruch. But the Ramban is saying I already developed that in the Lech Lecha that I think, and he gave us more sources and more argument, right? The Hashmat of Yaakov and the Bereishis Rabbah and so on, and the fact that it always appears at a new place. Here also, it's a new place, new location. And I said, no, I think it means to teach, and to teach in that case, they crush up b'shem Hashem kelo olam. Here we're getting a sense of what was on the lesson plan. What was the content of Avraham Avinu Shir? Now that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu who created everything, but specifically this added sophistication, this added nuance, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kel Olam, that he's the God of time, either the God of the entire universe, or the Rabban starts with and returns back to, he's the God of time, meaning that time itself is a creature of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's incredibly important. Seems like abstract philosophy. No, it has incredible practical significance. It's important in its own right. That's part of what we believe in about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you try to understand what the implications are, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even time is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means, as we were saying before, everything is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not as though the world was a Kadmus HaOlam, Chas V'Shalom, that there was always some sort of universe and God just came and modified. No, anything was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is that significant? Well, A, that's what we believe. That's true, and that's incredibly significant, Emuna. And the implications of that are the Jewish hashkafa, as opposed to what nowadays would be called the Christian hashkafa. Once upon a time, they called the Zoroastrian hashkafa. The Jewish approach is that every part of physicality is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and can be used well or poorly, as opposed to the implications of the Zoroastrian and Christian approach that there's good stuff from the good God, and chas v'shalom, bad stuff from the bad God, and much of the half of the world is irredeemable, and there are things which cannot be channeled well at all, and therefore the holy person is only the person who, you know, runs away to a hilltop monastery and retracts from all mazeh as much as possible. Or, alternatively, the other outcome of the Zoroastrian approach is I'm going to go the bad way. I'm just going to be a hedonist. I'm just going to enjoy the pleasures of Al-Mazah. And there's no meaningfulness. There's no nothing to it. And Zehu. We reject both of those extremes. We reject the Christian extreme of holiness is only through spirituality without physicality. And we reject the other extreme, which is rooted in the same error, which is, you know, unchecked hedonism and just physicality without spirituality. We believe, no. Kel Olam. That's what Avraham Avinu was teaching them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created everything. Nothing was here before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God created everything. So now we have to figure out, it doesn't mean therefore we should just randomly, indiscriminately enjoy everything because it's all a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means everything has potential, Kedusha. And we need to figure out how to do it right. How to engage each part of the world correctly, Kefi Avos Hashem. Neither of those two extremes, and that's incredibly practical hashkafa, and that all flow. It's both, gives us much greater breadth, and also gives us much greater responsibility, much greater opportunity, and a much more significant calling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has high expectations of us. And all of that practical hashkafa is rooted in the abstract emunah of Kel Olam, that everything is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even time. And then Meila, we're going to look at the world in that particular way. And says the Ramban, that's part of what our Ravina was teaching. Kori B'Shem Hashem means to teach about emunah to those who have not yet met the idea of emunah. And often Ramban said, in a new place, they had not yet heard of these ideas. And specifically, certainly later in his career, maybe throughout, he was teaching the idea of Kel Olam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Es Kol HaOlam Kulam. So this is one of the many, many ideas, one of the many, many threads running through Parshas Lech Lecha. Let's close where we started. And all of a sudden we're introduced here, Parshas Lech Lecha, we shift focus. All of a sudden it's that Am Hashem, beginning with Avraham Avinu, the specific, individual, particularistic story of Klal Yisrael. That's the shift from the universals of Bereishis and Noach to the particular focus that begins in Lech Lecha. But that particular focus is a focus of Achrayus. Not that we're going to take Rachman Litzlan, not that we're going to take advantage of everyone else, but Adrava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us to a higher standard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be more tuned into his ratzon and to figure out how to effectively share that with others. Whether it's the Avraham Yitzchak model of directly teaching Umos HaOlam, or as Rabban pointed out, with Yaakov, there's a shift already to the primary teaching being focused internally, building an Am Hashem, who will memela also impact secondarily on spreading the emunah that we believe in to the rest of the world. So there's a lot going on. And to think for a moment that all of this richness came from a three-word phrase that we've seen so many times, and perhaps never even bothered to think about, what does it mean, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem? And Rabban opened their eyes to notice that phrase, to put in the context of the rest of Chumash, and all of a sudden, this one little phrase is singing. Gorgeous.